Hey Gather, Bobby Rodriguez here again. Welcome to our summer series. I'm here today with Jared Brandt and Melissa Smith, and we're going to talk a little bit about the best thing. Remember that our summer series theme this time is based on John Krasinski's Some Good News, and we're saying, hey, how about the best news? And so they're going to take this idea of God, knowing how I see God changes everything, and they're going to help us to learn a little bit more about that. So, Jared, you want to take it away?
Yeah. Well, I would say the good news for me really this year was really getting a deeper understanding of God as Father, and that kind of falls underneath, you know, how we see God changes everything, which is really, in my view, kind of the best news, because I think as we begin to grapple with some of those things, it can just have a profound impact on us. And so I think for me, kind of pre-COVID, I was kind of consuming a lot of content by John Eldridge, who, you know, has written a lot of books on God as Father and real big on intimacy with the Lord, identity stuff, and I was just consuming it just with YouTube videos and reading books of his and some scripture I was getting in, but it was really, really huge on me because kind of going back to my story of like childhood sexual abuse at five, man, that's been jostled a lot through my life. It's just, you know, an inability to really throw a lot of shame through a lot of my life of just really seeing God for how he so desperately wants to be seen. And I can be like, yeah, I know. Okay, yeah, I know God's my Father, but really trying to, you know, internalize that truth. And so I think it was like mid-April. It was in the middle of our very, you know, shelter in place, all that stuff. And I was reading Matthew 25, and I was reading something else, and I kind of jumped over to Matthew 25 about the parable of the talents. And it really hit me in a way that it never had before. So I was kind of reading through it, and I noticed, obviously, the first two guys were, you know, faithful, and the third guy wasn't. So just a real quick synopsis. Master leaves, goes to a faraway land. Basically, he's got three slaves and basically entrusts him with everything that he has. And Jesus, when he told the story, used the word entrust. At least that's how we translate it in English. The first two guys that were faithful that basically went out, and they immediately went and they doubled. They traded and they doubled what they had. You know, when the master came back, they said, you know, you entrusted us. And so their view of the master was one that was really positive. And so the way I kind of saw that was because they knew they were accepted, that the master entrusted them, had great, you know, obviously great feelings towards them. Because of that love and security they had with their master, of course, I know Jesus was actually wanting master to be the Lord.
Yeah.
In that passage, where it freed them up to go just kind of attack life and, yeah, and go just, you know, go be on mission. Well, the third guy, you know, he went and buried the treasure. We all know that. But the vantage point that was a little bit different for me was he just immediately, you know, buried it. And who knows what he did after that. Mm-hmm. My thought is he might have felt shame or might have isolated and hid where the other guys were out in the marketplace investing. He might have just been home a lot. Just who knows how that story, how that story played out. But he told the master, I knew you to be a hard man. Basically, you sow where you did not reap. So he had some very negative connotations of the master. But the truth of the master is he cared about all three of them. Mm-hmm. But because that guy had a negative viewpoint, it caused him to hide, and it caused him to not live out the life that he wanted to. So that really hit me as God as Father.
Yeah.
You know, how am I motivated to hide and isolate, or am I motivated by feeling loved? And that's probably a little bit of a mixture of both. But when I read that, that really kind of unglued me in a way, and I really thought on that a lot. And so, but I mean, COVID's been tough too. I mean, COVID's been hard. I mean, you know, just pre-COVID, I felt like it was real easy to, you know, just connect with the Lord because I was going to church all the time and stuff like that. But it's been tough. But I mean, that's been kind of my overarching thing this year. It's been God as Father. And it's been great. So, yeah.
I love it. Yeah. So good. Okay, Melissa, so talk to us a little bit about how you see God changes everything.
I definitely have lived under the good news that God is a God of power and grace. But once I learned to really internalize that, that really has been the best news for me. I grew up going to church, and I found that I knew a lot about God, but I had a hard time transferring that knowledge from my head down to my heart. And so when I was able to do that, it really made a huge difference in my life. And one of my favorite things to do when I am learning about God and his power is to read stories, especially in the Old Testament, of how God was able to overcome situations that seemed humanly impossible. And so one of the stories that I've read recently that really hit home to me was found in 2 Chronicles 20, and it's the story of Jehoshaphat. And he and his army were facing three armies who were coming at them. And it seemed like it was going to be an impossible situation, and they were never going to make it through. But they stopped, and they got to a point where they truly believed in God's power. Rather than just saying, we know God is powerful, they said, we're going to act like we really believe God is powerful. Mm-hmm. And they were able to not worry because they were trusting the Lord with that. And so in the end, God made it so those three armies all ended up attacking each other. And then Jehoshaphat and his army were victorious, and they were able to take over the land that God had intended for them to take over. And so they... we're truly believing in his power in hard circumstances. And I think that we all have hard circumstances in life where we have to really think about, am I just saying God is powerful, or am I really believing that? And one of those circumstances for me came a couple of years ago, just going through a tough season after a breakup. And I could say, God, I know you're powerful, but did I really believe God was powerful? Yeah. I found myself believing that God is capable of things that I can humanly imagine. And I couldn't humanly imagine how he was going to get me through that situation. But through a lot of time reading stories in the Bible of God's power and a lot of prayer, I was able to get to the point where I truly believed in his power. And that meant that it was okay that I didn't know the step-by-step process of what life was going to look like, but it meant that I trusted that he was going to be enough for my future. And so I had to be like those first two servants in Matthew 25 that Jared was talking about, saying that I truly believe that he is powerful, and so I can live life because of that, rather than being like that third servant and just living life in fear. And then the other characteristic of God that I have truly come to internalize is that he is a God of grace. And so one thing that is sometimes challenging for me, just because I'm a sinner, is either holding grudges or forgiving again and again after the same sin continues to be committed. But also, I have a hard time accepting God's forgiveness of me. I know that he has forgiven me, but I have to really believe in my heart that he has forgiven me. And so I go back to scripture, and 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so in God's eyes, forgiveness is easy, even though I had a hard time believing that it was that easy. And so through a lot of prayer and a lot of studying, I have come to truly internalize this idea that God is a God of grace. And so that has allowed me to be free from a lot of guilt and shame. But at the same time, I also have to balance that with Romans 6, 1 and 2 that says we can't just keep sinning. It's not a free ticket. God's grace isn't a free ticket to do whatever we want to do. And so when I think about that, it still brings me a lot of freedom of Christ, but I also have to realize that my relationship with the Lord is so much more valuable than any of my worldly desires. And I know that sin just put space between or distance between the Lord and me. And so I want to continue to live for him, but also to just live in with that grace.
Love it. And this is like a little bit of like where the rubber meets the road for our faith. And we can have this idea that God is Father, or that God's powerful and full of grace. But it's how are we going to live that truth out? And what you're saying here is that you've kind of unlocked this sense that, man, okay, this is the truth that I have, but now when I walk in it, I get to see so much more of who he is. I get to rely on who he is. I can think of those armies, our Jehoshaphat's army. For the moment, I mean, you can say we believe and we're going to treat it this way, but until the moment that the other armies are defeated, you're kind of a little unsure, right? Yeah. And you're walking in that sense of sureness that comes from like experiencing that God is those things for you guys. And so I think that's super great.
Yeah.
Okay, Jared.
Yeah.
I want to come back to this idea of how we see God as Father.
Yeah.
And when we see him rightly, it changes everything.
Yeah.
But how do we practically work that out? How can I go from seeing just as Father and with all of the things that it might be, negative interpretation of my earthly father or whatever.
Yeah.
How do I practically start to really experience the blessing of seeing him rightly so that it changes everything?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I think there's a couple of things that jump out to me. I mean, obviously, a lot of us have probably have heard how we see our earthly father is how we naturally see our heavenly father. So there could be some people watching this tonight where maybe they've already dealt with it, but if they haven't, you know, really having to kind of dive into that painful place of like my relationship with my own father and kind of working through that. And then typically, I mean, that can typically means a journal or just getting alone. And it's hard because it takes a lot of courage to dive into those painful. I mean, a lot of people live their whole life. They'll medicate in a lot of different unhealthy ways because that's just too painful to kind of deal with stuff like that. But working through that, praying, asking God to be a part of that journey. And through that, I think that just in itself can potentially help too. And there's definitely some go-to verses on that as well as seeing God as Father. But to really internalize it, at least for me, it's really been even going to like Regen and getting up and all that. And I didn't go to Regen to see God as Father, but that was one of the blessings of going through there was really because I've seen, because of the abuse and my tendency to hide and feel shame and I have to be perfect in order for people to love me. Just a lot of stuff there with dating, with every relationship I've pretty much had, which just broke intimacy with people. And there'd be times I'd be driving in the car wanting to talk to God, but like I just couldn't say anything. Like it was just really hard for me to do that. And so one of the things getting through Regen was it just helped me to be able to see God for who he is. And I think the big one for me was going through MEND, which is the Men's Abuse Recovery Ministry. So depending upon where people's stories are, you know, some people have an awesome dad and this God as Father may come naturally. But if people are like me, where it's really been marked with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of pain, but like now that I'm seeing God as a kind Father, like I feel so much more confident just with life and taking risk and living life for him, like the first two guys. But for a lot of my life, I struggled being the third guy that hid the treasure and I didn't even know it. So anyway, I would say those would be a couple of ways, but like getting alone, internalizing it, spending time with the Lord, going to scripture and getting raw in the journaling, you know, because there'd be times I'd be writing this nice little pretty prayer, but I'm feeling something a lot core deeper than just like, and then it's like stopping. What do I feel right now? Even if they're negative emotions, let me bring them out, expose that, and really allow the Lord to really begin to do work on that. And it takes time.
Love it.
But the fruit on the other side's huge.
Is there a moment you talked about, hey, I was at one point like the third, and now I live my life like the first two. Was there a moment for you, a breakthrough of any kind? Like what? How did that come about for you? Can you pinpoint the moment?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if one specific moment, but when I got out of MEND, I was a different guy. I was more comfortable sharing things about me that were just kind of, I'm kind of a dork. You've known me for a long time. I'm goofy. I'm dorky. He can validate that. But I just felt more comfortable being seen. And I think part of that, now that we're kind of talking this out, was because I felt more loved and secured by God, which meant, well, I don't know how the people will view me, but I'm touching home base, who's the Lord, and I'm feeling pretty good about that, where it opened me up to be more myself. And so, like I shared my testimony in September at Gather, and I said, these have been the best 2 years of my life have been the last two. Circumstantially, they've been kind of so-so, but like the freedom in my heart from just kind of going through some really painful stuff, I'm telling you guys, if you haven't done it, it's so worth it to see God for, because he wants to be seen that way. Yeah. He wants us to see him that way, but so many of us just don't.
Yeah.
It's like, God, this is a core part of knowing me, is knowing that I'm good, I love you, I'm powerful, I'm kind, I'm for you. So
love it. Yeah. I mean, that's what the evidence is, you saying, hey, my circumstantially, my life was,
it's been all right.
But spiritually and connectedness to God, it's real. This is the kind of the proof in the pudding here.
Yeah, this Bible just, it comes alive. It's love not it. Just some like dutiful book we read. Like there's a, so anyway.
Okay, Melissa, talk to me a little bit about the practical ways that we go from knowing that God is a God of grace and power to experiencing that grace and power in our lives.
I would say that it's not something that happens overnight. It's
yeah.
it's a process for sure. For me, the process looked like just walking through hard seasons of my life. And then I also went through Regen, which is Watermark's recovery ministry. And there, that's when I really learned to trust God in hard circumstances, no matter whether I knew what the outcome was going to be or not. And then another thing that's helpful for me is as I'm reading the Bible, I look for God's character in there. What is this teaching me about God? What is this teaching me about Jesus? How do they, when Jesus is interacting with people and his disciples, how does he show them who he is? And then I think about, are those character traits that I really believe in my head, or are those things that I've moved down to my heart? And am I living life in a way that shows that I believe that?
You know, I want to finish with this. How do you guys both think or hope that this message will impact others? So your message is God is Father, but you see him as, the way that you see him really matters, right? Like, yes, he's your Father, but how I see him really matters. How do you want that to impact the folks that are watching today and for you as well? Like, how do you want this picture of God's grace and his power to play out in the lives of these folks?
Yeah, I would say just real quick on God as Father. I mean, you know, we were talking about this the other day. Just, you know, how we sometimes happens with like our earthly father, but also just how we see God. It's so foundational, because if we can't see him as Father, which is a very intimate thing, which to him he sees us as his children, it just makes it really difficult to walk in intimacy with him. And it's been hard for me to walk in. It's been hard for me to walk in intimacy with people a lot of my life. Just some of the trauma I had earlier, which I found a lot of freedom the last couple of years. Praise God for that. But, you know, it's one thing. Oh yeah, God's Father. Like, I get that. But we've both mentioned internalization. Like, internalizing is such a huge deal. And I think my hope is, you know, as you guys discuss tonight about what we've talked about, I hope there's a couple of you guys that are in a coffee shop on Saturday alone, grappling with God's power or God as Father, just going and just really just kind of getting alone with that and really trying to internalize that. And so hopefully the discussion will maybe propel some people to do that, because, you know, there's no quick fixes with this. I mean, it takes time, but I think, you know, as we really begin to dive in more into like how we see God, it's a huge deal.
Yeah.
It's just it changes us from being the third guy who dug the hole and spent a lot of his time hiding and afraid, to the two that were living in freedom and they're able just to live life boldly, which is, you know, what God wants for us. You know,
or courageous armies.
Exactly.
Right?
And, you know, Paul talks about in Galatians 6, just like Jesus died to free you from sin, absolutely free you from sin, but also let you be free to go live fully for him. And so I think God as Father is just a foundational thing that, you know, we have to work on and try to understand. So,
Melissa, tell us a little about how you hope that this will impact others.
My hope is very similar to what Jared talked about. I would hope that people would just take time to really read Scripture and look at the character traits that God displays in Scripture, and then challenge yourself to think about, do I really just say that in my head, or is that something that I truly believe in my heart? And am I living in a way that shows that I truly believe that in my heart?
Love it. So I have some advice that would say that you've probably listened to this once now, or you're in the midst of listening to it. Go back, re-listen to it, stop it. Listen to the scriptures that have been mentioned. Read those and allow those to kind of inform a little bit more of how you feel about what they're saying. So that's a little piece of advice, you free of charge. I'm not going to charge anything for that. So thank you guys.
Yeah,
appreciate
y'all
being here.
Thank you.
Excited about how the impact, or I'm excited about what kind of impact that your teaching will do. I have a little bit of business. You mind standing here for just a second?
You're great.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So now we're at the end, and now's the time that we're going to go to our virtual table. So hopefully you've already kind of signed on and you've got your Jitsi link for your virtual table. If you don't, please right now email us at gather@watermark.org, and we will hustle a Jitsi link to you so you can get into a group to discuss these things. Wanted to also tell you a little bit about our next gather will be virtual again. It'll be our last gather of summer series, and I know. Okay. COVID has made me not love my computer as much as you don't love your computer. But bear with us, and we're this is what we have to do right now. So take it, do the best that you can with it, grow in intimacy with the Lord because of it. We also have some things that we're going to be planning for the fall. You can check out our newsletter, any of our social media places to find out more about that upcoming. All right, head to your table times. Good seeing you.